little of that in there. Good, good. So we're ready to go then, I guess. Now that I got just enough of a nice throat clear in there.
Got so far to go, no way to get there, but this town has always been on my side. So let the rain fall on me if it's gotta fall somewhere. Let it wash away the dirt for a while. And this life may have me someday standing at the gates of hell, but I'll get back to you.
Welcome. You know, welcome. 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 Well, we've got another show to do here. We've got a lot to talk about today. And none of it important or vital or crucial to our lives. So here we go. Turns out, so I thought a couple weeks ago, I thought I could just outsmart the man. And what I did is I said, you know what? Everyone's arguing over about, should we put a woman on the monies? Should we take out, you know, what's his face? Indian killer man. Andrew Jackson. Mr. Trail of Tears. By the way, I would be up for perhaps not replacing him with someone else if we could put, you know, in Latin below it, like, Mr. Trail of Tears, what the fuck? Etis utiris fuckakis. Everyone's arguing over this. Should we do it? Shouldn't we do it? Whatever. And I said, you know what? Fuck that shit. I'll just do it myself. So I took a picture of a woman that I respect, namely Allie Brosh, who does hyperbole and a half. And it's a self-portrait of her, and it's a little tiny picture that says, you know, maybe everything isn't complete bullshit. Cut it out on a tiny little rectangle and taped it to my credit card. That's how smart I was. Like, you know what? I'm a doer. And so are these women that I respect so much. So I did it. And I thought I could outsmart the man and just do it that way. Well, I thought it was as simple as putting a sticker on a card. And it turns out it's not as simple as putting a sticker on a card. Because here's what happens. Then you go to a coffee shop. And they have one of those, they don't have an actual cash register. This is important to know. They have one of those, you know, one that I could have in my apartment. Like if I just wanted to swipe cards, if I just wanted to sit outside my apartment with an iPad and plug something into a headphone jack and then take money that way. So, you know, she's trying to swipe it, but it was too tight and it didn't work. And she's like, oh, I think it's this sticker. And I was like, oh. And so then she was this, you know, 13-year-old looking girl who works at this place is punching in the number manually. And I was standing there deciding, should I just lie and be like, I don't know, somebody took my card and did that. It's dumb, right? Or like, should I explain it? This is when I realized it was a horrible idea. Not just practically, but really, because I was like, oh, when I think about explaining this out loud, it's a bad idea. Now, when I think about explaining most things out loud to like a 15-year-old girl, they do seem stupid or crazy. Maybe because I can't really imagine actually talking to a 15-year-old girl about something, because that seems weird. Like, oh, yeah, well, you know, I just thought I'd put a lady on money because, you know, how everyone's debating about that. I feel like a 15-year-old girl is going to be like, okay, Fuck off. I work at a coffee shop. What do you want? So anyway, I'm going to have to remove it, I'm afraid. Sad day. Sad day. Well, I went to the movies last weekend. Saw Jurassic World. This is the newest entry in the movies of Jurassicdom, where shit gets real fucking Jurassic. I'm going to tell a little more about it, but before we get too far into it, everybody who's complaining about this movie, go fuck yourself. Okay? I feel like people who complained about this movie did not see Jurassic Park or Jurassic World, or what's the second one? The Lost World. They didn't see the second one. They sure as hell didn't see the third one. Okay? And then they're like, this movie sucks. I'm like, no. This is the second best dinosaur movie we've gotten in our lives. We'll get... Okay, let's go back. So we're going on a dinner date. Going on a dinner date with my partner. This is what my girlfriend calls me. She, you know, when she's at work and stuff, she calls me her partner. And I'm like, I think that makes you sound gay. Not like that makes you sound gay, like you're shitty. It just makes it sound like you're saying my partner. You know, she doesn't say my partner Peter or my partner he. It's like, yeah, my partner and I went to this. I'm like, interesting. I don't know. But I don't like girlfriend and boyfriend either, because I'm not a child. You see what's the problem here? There's a big problem here. So we're going on a date, a dinner and a movie date, right? So we meet up to have dinner. Does this happen to anyone else? I feel like I'm going to a movie, right? The movie was at 10:10. That's when the movie fucking started. That's when the lights went halfway dark and we watched, you know, 45 minutes of commercials. Movie's at 10:10. I feel like we met up at 8 o'clock. Every time I go to a movie, this is what happens. The movie's at 10:10. It's about 7, and I'm sitting at home, and I'm like, oh, should I be getting up? And I'm like, what? No, like, this is fucking all goddamn day. You know, it's 7. I look at the clock again. It's 7:15. Then I look at the clock again, and I'm like, I'm not dressed. I haven't eaten dinner, and it's 10:09. Something about the last hour before you go to something like this, it's just fucked up. It just goes away. It's just gone. I don't know if this is like a problem that everyone has with movies or just a problem that I have with life. It seems to be a problem that I have consistently in all... You know, I get up in the morning and I'm like, it's, you know, 8. Have an hour. And then I am standing in the kitchen and I'm like, it is 8:58. What the fuck? I am nowhere near ready to be at work. We met up and went to a candy store. Can I tell you something about me? I'm learning that I think I don't really like candy that much, but I like walking around a candy store. I like the idea of candy more than I like the eating of candy. I mean, the packaging is so bright and vibrant and full of hope. But then when it comes to opening it and eating it, I'm like, this is all wax and plastic. And I've had a mini Twix thing at my work for like 3 months, you know, and I've been trying to plow. It's like an effort. I'm like, oh, I got to eat a couple of these a day so I can get them down. What is going on? You know, this candy store, it's like one of these big candy stores where it's themed like an old shed. They have barrels everywhere that it's like, yeah, okay, we'll just keep the candy in barrels. I guess that's so that you can have that horrible, disappointing moment as a kid where you're like, oh, this barrel's not actually full of Airheads. It goes down like 3 inches and then there's a wooden... This is bullshit. Like, those barrels seem so great. You're like, my God, the bounty of candy. What a person could do with this amount of candy. You just want to go up to the store person and be like, sir, I know I'm 7, but I just want to let you know how impressed I am by the bounty, the riches you possess. Like, I don't know in old days if this was appropriate, like if some pirate had treasure and shit, but god damn. Anyway, I will take a Tartan Tinies, please. So we're in this candy store, and it's like an old... I like how it's an old shed, too. Like, that doesn't seem like a problem to anyone. It's like, I don't know, kids are used to going into some weird old shed to get candy. That's what we'll theme our candy store is, like old rotten wood that's like down by a swamp somewhere. We will train kids to get used to eating candy out of a swamp shack. And then we're going to open our food truck candy store. And that's just an old van with, you know, one Jolly Rancher that's being held by a sweaty fat guy. So they'll be used to that. It's going to be great. This is going to be really amazing. We're changing the way people interact with their food. They also have at the candy store, you know, they have like all your regular candies. And then they have your Europe candies, which are like, I don't know, they're fine. They're probably better. I don't know. Everyone says they're better. I don't really care. But they have your like European chocolates, your Maltesers and whatnot. And I always buy one, and then I'm like, I bought the wrong one. It doesn't matter which one I buy. It's the wrong one. You know, it's the one that I'm like, is this filled with like some kind of hot dog spread or something? Or does this have like weird jam in it that it's got like seedlings in it? What is this? What did I get? And everyone next to me is like, I got this, and it's caramel. And it's like, oh, and this one's got like almost a cocoa powder, and I'm like, I'm eating like a bug. It's a giant bug, I think, that's rectangular. So they have the European candy, and then they have like a Japanese candy section, which I thought, Japan seems like the home of the decadent weird stuff, because you're like, well, they're not like a broke-ass fool country, but also they're so different. You hear the things. You know, the, like, grown-ups read comic books and comic book pornos, and they have, like, women's panties in a fucking vending machine, and you can get a scalding hot can of coffee from a machine, and, you know, periodically they send a bus full of kids to an island and tell them they'll blow their heads off unless they fight each other to the death, all that kind of stuff. And there's not even a romance, really. You know, at least our Hunger Games have a romance in America. Here's the thing, though. So, like, you go to the since I'm not that interested in candy, I'm like, well, I might as well just get something fucking crazy. Right? Like, I don't know. I might as well check something out and just, maybe I'll hate it, but I'll be like, well, that's what that tastes like. Now I know what dragon fruit tastes like in candy form, or what Japan thinks an orange tastes like. And then it just brings up questions. Is this what a Japan orange tastes like? And furthermore, do people eat like an orange Jolly Rancher in Japan and be like, Jesus Christ, is this what oranges taste like in America? This is crazy. This is like a fluid that goes into your car. This is a fluid at Grease Monkey where they change your oil and they're like, do you want to see what we did? And I'm like, when you say, do I want to see what you did? Do you mean, do I want to walk out in the garage with you? And you pull out the dipstick and don't even wipe it off and just show me like, there's oil on there. No fucking shit. I drove the car in here. It should have oil when I got here. How much would be helpful, but whatever. But here's the thing about the Japanese candy is it's like not that crazy. Like, or it's not that shocking. It's mostly the kind of stuff that you would expect. And it doesn't seem that divorced from America candy, right? Like, the weirdest thing they ever had, I saw there, was, like, a green tea-flavored Kit Kat, which I ate, and it tasted like if someone told you you were going to have a Kit Kat that was candy, I guess, it was fine. And if someone blindfolded you and just fed you that, you would have no fucking idea what the flavor was supposed to be. Maybe, like, I don't know, some kind of Miracle-Gro or something like that. But that was, like, the weirdest thing, right? And that's what I don't like. I want to know, like, I want to go into one of these candy stores and be like, hey, What are they eating like in Pakistan over there? Or what's going on in Pakistan? Oh, see, if I'd said it right, I could have said, what's going on in Pakistan? See what a missed opportunity that is because I'm a jingoistic motherfucker. I want to know, like, what the fuck are they eating for candy? Or do they eat candy? I don't even know if they must, right? I mean, the countries that I'm not interested are European countries. They seem to be fine. I'm not really interested in American stuff because I know what that is. Japanese stuff is pretty close. Oh, the other one I'm not interested in is do not give me candy from Mexico. Mexico, you know, has been getting a lot of shit lately that they don't deserve, mostly from Donald Trump. But I will say this. I like how Donald Trump is like, Mexico is full of rapists and they're sending all their rapists here. And it's like, are you saying there's a problem right now? Or are you proposing like a escape from New York situation? Like, should we send, where are we going to send all our races? Iceland or something? I don't understand your purpose. But I will say this, Mexico, you did good on the food. It's like you went through the meal, right? Like a dinner. You have the nice chips and salsa. I love that shit. You've got the margaritas and the horchatas and stuff. That's great. You've got the good, take your pick from the main courses. Nothing like that plate of fajitas coming across the restaurant, though. My God. And I think you blew your load on the dinner and the dessert. You just gave up. Like, you just decided, okay, who cares? You're going to be so fucking full, you're not even going to notice. Because every time at the grocery store I've had the Mexican candy. Oh, God. I bought the, they have this aisle, and it's like the Mexican food aisle, which I frequent to make Mexican food. Duh. And, they have cookies there too. And I was like, I don't know. These look pretty good. They have like a rainbow panda on them. How bad could this be? This one says Bimbo on it. That's worth a couple bucks already. Worst fucking cookies I've ever had in my life. I opened this cookie and was like, is this meant to be eaten alone? This seems like it's meant to be eaten with something on it, or like as a, almost seems like a medical. Like, this is something they eat in Mexico if they're constipated or something. It can't be, that cannot be a cookie that's for eating for joy. Like, I cannot conceive of getting joy out of that. Anyway, I've experimented with that. But what's going on in these other countries? That's what I want to know. I want to know, like, you know, if you're in, I don't know, Vietnam. What kind of candy do they have there? What is it? If you're in like Czechoslovakia, what, the Czech Republic? The checkerboard? The Czech are bored. And that's how the checkerboard was invented. There you go. Little history. Little extra history lesson. What are they eating for candy there? I want to know. So we bought some candy. I ended up buying a Twizzler, like a normal size Twizzler. Now, I got the pull and peel. I don't like the regular Twizzler. That's just like eating. That feels like I'm eating a Starbucks straw lightly that's been dipped in flavor or was down. It feels like it was downwind from a factory where they had candy and added flavor to candy, but it didn't actually get exposed to the flavor directly. They aren't powerful enough. But I got that. And it was a regular size thing, and it lasted me for about 4 days until I plowed through and ate the whole thing in one go. Like, ate the remainder, because I was like, this is, how long is this supposed to last? And really, I felt like I needed to eat it because I thought, if this continues to be soft and good for like a week and a half, I'm going to have a problem. Then I'm not going to want it anymore. So we go to the candy store. We go to dinner. We go to a dinner at a Chinese restaurant where it was clearly the waitress's first day. We ordered lettuce wraps, which they had there, and she didn't know what that was, and then didn't know if they had it, and then was just like, can you just point to it on the menu? And I did, and she's like, okay. You know, like this was the first time she'd seen it. I was like, all right. And then, so we're like getting towards time. And I was like, we're not going to fucking make it. But then the food came fast. And I was like, you know what? We'll make it by 10:40. The movie starts at 10:10. You think there's probably like a half hour of previews, right? That seems normal. And she's like, oh yeah, totally. So we go, we get a, popcorn and what. I always feel like when you buy the tickets, because I show up to the movies late. Now, I hate showing up to the movies late. Man, I used to like showing up to the movies like 5 minutes early. And I had this friend that I saw movies with all the time. And he liked to be there early as fuck. Because then you could pick whatever seat you wanted. And now, like, I've become such a diseased person that the prospect of picking the seat I want is, like, too much. I want to go in right when the lights are coming down and find a seat that basically I don't get to pick. That it's like, well, these are my options. I'll sit here. That's fine. Because that way I don't have to think about it. It's like, well, this is the best. This is clearly, when you go in and the theater's half full, it's pretty clear where you're going to sit. But yeah, so we get there, and I always think when you buy the tickets that the ticket person's going to be like, sorry. You know, sir, that movie started 45 minutes ago. Do you really, you're going to go in now? But I always forget that, A, the people who work there are like 14 and don't give a fuck. And B, probably are just, probably if I bought a ticket for a movie that was like 2 hours into 2.5 hours, and if I wanted it, they're probably like, fuck it, sell it to them. Who cares? What do I care? So there you go. They never, ever say anything. They do still have, I don't like how the movies still have this dumb system where you like go in and you're sitting there and you get your ticket, you go in, and then you get your popcorn and your drink, your small popcorn and drink, and then you go into the theater. The lady working at the theater also was like, do you want butter on this popcorn? I was like, oh, no, thank you. And she rang everything up, and she's like, did you want butter on that? And I was like, no, thank you. And she goes and gets it and put it on anyway. And I was just like, okay. Well, good thing you asked twice. But then you go in, and you have your hands full of this shit, this horrible shit that you're going to put in your body. And the lady's like, can I tear your tickets, please, and direct you towards the theaters? And it's like, look, I've stayed in a hotel. Those rooms go up to like 500. This theater has 8 screens. I think I can find between 1 and 8. All right. I think I can handle it. Oh, no. We better have a second. And this person is always wearing like a shitty suit that I think is owned by the movie theater, because it's always a huge suit. And it's like a 17-year-old. This is like, okay, well, the 15-year-olds do all the popcorn and the 17-year-old's the boss. And wearing a giant baggy suit from 1984 with a tie that's the kind of maroon color that all the seats are in the movie theater. And they have to tear your ticket and then point you in the right direction. I hate that part. So we get there. I don't think we missed anything. I mean, we may have missed moments of the movie, but we caught all the stuff in the first, like, 5 minutes we were there. There was no information that we needed to know that we did not get from what we saw subsequently. So maybe the key to enjoying this movie is to just skip the first 10 minutes, because maybe that's the part everyone has a problem with. I have no idea. So this movie, Jurassic World, I don't know, a lot of people were bitching about it. And I was like, I just, Can people not enjoy anything? Is it impossible to go to a thing and just enjoy it and be like, well, I don't know, it didn't change my life, but I mean, what was I going to do? Spend an hour on Reddit before bed? Yeah, probably, and I probably still will. This didn't even rob me of that. So who gives a fuck? It wasn't offensive, and it wasn't horrible. You know, you're entertained. There are the moments, right, where you're just like, oh, why the fuck would you do that? I hate when someone watches a Jurassic Park and is like, this isn't believable, this thing that someone did or this thing someone said. And it's like, you know what else isn't fucking believable? Goddamn dinosaurs everywhere. There was a really great part where, long story short, a big dinosaur is kind of sniffing around this garage where these people are. And the guy, you know, is hiding on one side of the car, and he peeks around the corner and sees he left his gun on the other side of the car. And in the theater, it's totally quiet, except when he sees his gun is on the other side of the car, audible, oh, coming from somebody in the crowd. So that was pretty nice. That I liked. Might have been my favorite part of the movie. You know, here's what I could do without in Jurassic Park. How come every fucking time they have a Jurassic Park, it's like, well, we gotta have a couple special kids who learn a life lesson, like a family lesson. I don't need that. Who does need that? Who needs, like, oh, these are brothers, and now they get along? And who needs in the first one, like, oh, this man learns how he is capable of being a father? And I don't know. Who needs it? I didn't need to learn that. There's no return of Newman. I'll tell you that right now. Not like there is in my Helpful Snowman Comics issue number 1, which nobody has purchased. You fucking bastards. On Amazon, available on Kindle. By the way, when something's available on Kindle, is available to read on any mobile device and a computer. If you're hearing my voice, that means you have access to any kind of device that could display this comic book that I made. Okay? That's all you need. If you're hearing this, you have no excuse. If you're not hearing this, why would I even finish that? Why would I even come up with something to say to someone who can't hear me? I'm going to shame the rest of you. Comic book contains alternate ending for Jurassic World. Okay? I do feel like there's like a weird... There's a weird movie within the movie that I want to see. And that's in Jurassic World. Like, I want to see... So this is the fourth fucking time with this shit. And I want to see the movie that there's no dinosaurs, no guns, no... It's just an office, right? Like, it's a normal, stupid fucking office. And it's somebody coming in to, like, apply for some kind of business license, right? And, like... hold on. Got our office ambience. So we're in the office. The guy comes into my office. I'm like, okay, so sir, have a seat. Have a seat. This isn't going to take long. And I want to wear out your body of you sitting down and getting back up. I heard that sitting down too much is horrible for humans. And therefore, I want you seated. I see here that you've got a permit for another Jurassic Park. Now, I'm sure you're well aware of the other Jurassic Parks. Do you want to tell me what happened at the other parks, or should I tell you? Because, you know, I saw all about it in the tabloids. Like, dead people. Eaten by dinosaurs. This happened 3 times. Now, the first time... I get it, right? Oh, we've got it under control. It was like 1994. You know what I mean? We did not have the technology. And thank God. Back then, everyone didn't have a fucking camera. We don't have a video footage of a man being eaten off of a toilet, which I am to understand did happen. And children saw this. Children saw a man be murdered. And were nearly murdered themselves over the period of several days. Now, then we had a second time where someone tried this, and then a third time. Now, the third time, you motherfuckers, you closed up shop on this Jurassic Park, and then you just left all the fucking dinosaurs there. Do I even need to explain what an irresponsible business practice that is? It's very irresponsible to open a business and, like, redo a building in some crazy fashion and then close it, and then you just leave this eyesore building that no one's gonna want, and it's gonna stay empty for 25 years. That's bad practice. You made fucking dinosaurs and just left them. Okay? This would be like if a pet store in the mall closed. They're like, oh, we're not making a lot of money. Well, let's release the lizards. We'll start there. Let's just send the snakes on their way. We leave the cages open and leave the front door open. We'll pull down the mall gate. And then someone's just going to come in and there's going to be a snake with a bunch of dog and cat shaped lumps in it. That what we want? No. And then, okay. Well, so you have a plan this time. Okay, if you tell me, you listen to me, you motherfucker. If you say the word fence or restraint collar or beacon or any kind of that shit, I am going to fly across this desk and I'm just going to grab whatever's closest and beat you to death with it. It's looking like stapler right now. Or maybe this wooden block that has that crazy thing with the pens that go in two directions, which is something that you have to have if you're like a guy in a business setting. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear, oh yeah, well these fences work awesome, unless the power goes out, which happens on a tropical island like every fucking 4 hours, by the way. It has happened every place on Earth. Oh, what do we do if the power goes down? Well, we have to drive out with Muldoon into the middle of fucking nowhere and turn these switches that are really hard to get to because there's dinos near them. And then we can turn the power on. Do we have any, ideas of what to do? No. Like, this is the thing. This is what you have to let go of when you watch a Jurassic Park, right? So, you know, there's this part. The dinosaurs get loose. Of course. Of fucking course. And it's stupid. But they get loose. And then, you know, the people who run the park are like, let's not evacuate this park. Let's, you know, we can contain this. Let's quietly contain this. Let's get people out of the area. It will kill this super dinosaur. And you're just like, no. The first Jurassic Park, you're like, eh, yeah, fine. This the fourth time, and you're like, this is the fourth time. Sir, I see here that the result of this Jurassic Park, one of the dinosaurs was loose in the city and destroyed a bus, ate a fucking dog, and drank out of a swimming pool. It was a miracle, a boring miracle, a miracle of epic proportions of boredom, because goddamn, I was hoping a lot more would happen. It was a miracle that we had that low of loss of life. A T-Rex loose in the city. And you're saying, you know what? I think we should give this an... Get the fuck out of my office. You get the fuck out of my office. It's called Jurassic Park, : get the fuck out of my office. There's another great thing in Jurassic World 2 that I hadn't seen for a while, which is like this 1980s, 1990s thing where, so they've developed dinosaurs and, you know, they're sort of trained. And then you discover, like, who's behind this? It's the military. the military wants to use raptor dinosaurs as like trained commando killing unit squads or whatever. Which is like, this is what they always used to do in these movies. It was always like, oh, you're going to take this thing and weaponize it? Are you crazy? Which, first of all, you're like, how crazy is that? Like in Terminator, and they're like, ugh, who would have ever thought that these horrifying chrome skeletons with blood red eyes would turn against us? Who would have ever thought that it would be a bad idea to make these 8,000 times stronger than an average man with no way to stop them? Or you've got like your short circuits, and it's like, you use this artificial intelligence and you made it a weapon. This is the best thing you could come up with this. Everything, you know, I feel like Howard the Duck, they were trying to capture him to be some kind of military. It was always like the military was going to dissect him. That was another thing. Like, if there's an alien, it's like the military wants to kill this and take it apart. You're like, really? Is that, that's really what they're doing? That seems crazy. Even I'm a cynical fuck who doesn't trust anybody, and even I'm like, oh, this is a little far. Seems a little paranoid, guys. So they did that in this movie, which I liked. That was a nice throwback of like, this evil... The military in these movies has the worst plans ever. It makes it seem like the military is like, oh yeah, well, you know, after the last dust up, they never say to, they're never like, ooh, after we fucked up in Afghanistan and shit. They're always like, oh yeah, after that blood in the desert, do you know what that was like? And then you're like, well, I guess that could be any time in the last 30 years or whatever. But they always say, oh, this is much better than having human troops on the ground. And you're like, that's so dumb. Because you know what the military is not going to do? They're not going to build a robot that costs $1 billion to save like 10 lives. That's not going to happen. What world do you live in? Do you know what's really cheap for them is if just people show up and then die and then they, you know, oh yeah, well, we pay for your burial. Oh wow, that's amazing. We pay for your family to have a horrible life for a couple more years on some kind of, you know, your husband's dead package. Good. That's well worth it. That certainly will make up for, you know, the alternative option of me like getting a regular job and working and not being shot. That'll work out good. But yeah, so in order to stop that, what we're going to do is spend 40 times as much and make a robot. I'm sure that will happen very soon. I'm sure that'll be the first application of a very expensive dinosaur. Or they're like, oh yeah, well, we're going to spend so much time and money developing these dinosaurs. Also, the thing that I didn't like is I was like, why does a dinosaur have to like take orders? Can't you just make a bunch of crazy dinosaurs, drop them into a country, and then they just kill people? And then just put a bomb in their fucking head that explodes after like a couple days. And they go on a killing spree, then their heads blow off. And then you're like, all right, we're going to release more dino terror on your land if you don't. I don't know what the objectives are, but you get the idea. That's all I'm saying. It's a great plot point that I haven't seen in a while. The military application. And sometimes you see like an Iron Man and you're like, well, obviously the military is going to want that because he is using it to fight terrorists. So that seems pretty. He blew this fat terrorist guy through a fucking wall. I could see why they'd be into that. But then other movies, you're just like, I don't know. It's lazy regardless. And then sometimes it's more than a bit of a stretch. Right? So there you go, Jurassic World. Go see Jurassic World in the theater. Don't wait, because if you wait to see it at home, you won't watch it. And that is not a movie that you want to watch home alone, you know, on a Friday night with a pizza. Maybe if you're sick, if you're homesick, Pete's homesick movies, you can watch that. It wouldn't be the worst. You don't really have to pay attention. You don't have to see the first 10 minutes, and probably there's a lot of 10-minute stretches in there that you don't really need to see. Um, cat update. I have an important cat update. The other night, we're sitting around, and it smelled really bad in the bedroom, and I was like, I think the cat farted. And I wasn't sure, you know, because I was like, I don't know, maybe my partner farted. And the other night, my partner farted in the bed. Really, is that a dude or a lady? You're missing the important part of this story, which is the farting. That's what... Hey, it doesn't matter. All farts... Farts are color and gender blind. Okay? I'm going to start saying that, by the way. I'm going to start saying, hey, quit fart shaming me. This is my natural body's way of processing things, and it creates a gas. I'm sorry. Sorry that your body doesn't make gases. Mine does. Stop fart shaming me. I'm a fartist. That's who I am. So it smelled really bad. And it smelled weird. Like, it didn't smell like how people's farts smell. And then I definitely heard the cat fart. And so then the next day I was like, I think Cicely was farting in the bed. And Cassie was like, real excited. She's like, that is so cute. And I was just like, what is it gonna take? At what point do we not think the cat is cute anymore? Like, what action, if the cat just farting up the bed is cute, what do we have to do to get to like, okay, that's not cool? I'm not even asking for like, okay, let's kill the cat. I'm just like, when do we get to like, dude, that is not cool. You fucked up. That is not acceptable. That's all I want. But we're still... Farting up the bed is still cute. Now, does this give me permission to fart up the bed? I think so. I'd like to. I probably will have to. What choice do I have? What choice do I have besides farting up the bed at this point? You know what I mean? I feel like I almost have to because the cat did. And it's like, well, if the cat's doing it, I want to do it. If the cat gets to do it, I should sure as hell should be able to, you know, fart all I want. God. I met a very comic book guy. So here's something interesting. I'll just say, you know, my work puts me in contact with people who do, like, stuff. Weird stuff. They come and do programs for kids or whatever. And, so this guy is, like, a comic book artist. Like, he's a legit... He's done some serious work and whatnot. And for the big companies, Marvel, DC, and everything... And he did a 2-hour workshop that was, oof, Jesus. It was painful. I mean, it was painful and difficult to watch because it was so boring. Guys, I was so bored. I was bored. I'm an adult and I was bored, right? So what does that tell you? What does it tell you that I'm like, I was bored? Do with that what you will. And he was like, he was the most comic book guy ever. You know, he had his jorts on, and you could hear his breathing through his nose, like, across the room. It was crazy. So, he does this program or whatever, and then afterwards, he was telling me a little bit about the comic book industry, right? These are some things that blew my mind. First of all, he told me, like, hey, it turns out that, what people do, so he was saying, like, the Baxter Building, right, in Marvel Comics, it's just a fucking skyscraper, you don't even know, but what they do is they draw it in Google SketchUp, and then they just digitally throw it in the comics, right, so that people don't have to draw it, which I was like, ugh, I don't like that, but okay. And then he was saying, like, they also do it with, like, some of the characters. So what they'll do is they'll create, like, a 3D model of Spider-Man and then put him in the comic and then just pose him differently. And I was like, that's fucked up. That is fucked up. Right? I was getting upset. Then, this is what he told me. Well, he was, okay, this is a Comic-Con thing, like a Comic-Con gossip. And so take it with some grains of salt. So I was like, did you go to Denver Comic-Con this year? And he was like, no. He's like, I haven't gone for a few years. There's a few reasons. He's like, first of all, the first time I went was like 7 years ago or something, and I made $10,000 selling sketches. I was like, that's awesome. He's like, yeah, it was crazy. And he was like, but here's something I didn't like about it. Like, I sold sketches, but if someone brought in a comic book that I drew, that I did the art for, I'd sign that shit. And then they go on their way. And I was like, cool. And he's like, and I liked that you could talk to people. Like, it wasn't so crowded that it was shoving everyone through. And he's like, and so then there was some guy who was in Tron or made Tron or something. And he's like, and I brought my Tron DVD. He charged me $40 to sign it. Now, I kind of get, like, the guy who made Tron, like, what's he going to make money on now? What's he going to sell? But at the same time, I kind of get what this guy is saying, like, well, I gave people, like, art to... I got paid to do the art, right? Like, I got paid to make the art for this comic book. And then I signed them because I already got paid for that job. And then I drew a new picture if someone needed more. And then they could buy it. This guy made Tron and got paid for it and then was still fucking charging just to sign stuff. So that didn't rub him the right way. Then, you know, he's like, in the subsequent years, I made less and less money because the focus was not on comics. It's on movies and shit, which I totally agree with. Without a judgment on whether that's good or bad, it's true. I mean, you see a lot more stuff going on with the movies, TV and whatnot. So then, this is when it blew my mind. He said, him and a bunch of the other artists decided not to go anymore because the year Stan Lee was supposed to go, Denver Comic Con turned him away. He was scheduled to come, and then they were like, actually, just kidding. Now, for why, you know, because I guess they could get a different stable of guests or something like that, which is fucked up because I bought tickets to see Stan Lee, and I did eventually see Stan Lee. It worked out, but not at Comic-Con, right? And it took me back to when he didn't come to Comic-Con. I was like, he's like a fucking million years old. I was like, is this it? Is this the end of Stan Lee? I thought I wasn't going to see him, right? And I was like, maybe he's canceling because he's going to die. Because he canceled a couple months in advance, which is unusual, right? Because if you're like, I'm pretty sick, but Denver Comic-Con is 2 months away, I'd probably wait it out, see if I could make it, see if I could ship my old bones out there. But he canceled really early, and it was really vague why. And so now I'm like, holy shit, what if that's true? Here's what was interesting about the whole thing. It really made me think about, because, you know, a lot of what people like about geek culture, which is important to me, I guess, is like the inclusiveness and like everyone gets to play. But there's also an extent to which that's not true, right? Because this guy is saying, he was saying specifically like a lot of local artists and people got pushed out for bigger names. And the whole artists and writers part has really shrunk. Which I think is true, because even 2 or 3 years ago when I went, there were probably 5 writers that I wanted to meet, and this year there were like none. And all the meet and greets, you know, the famous people are not, you know, it's Lou Ferrigno, who is the Hulk on TV, or it's someone from Battlestar Galactica, or Doctor Who, you know what I mean? And so it's petty for me to be like, I want the stuff that I want to be there, but also I want the stuff that I want to be there because I'm a human person and that's how I feel about stuff, right? So it does. It is an interesting other side of it where it's a. I don't know. It's such a weird balance because sometimes you're like, oh, this internet chat room was way better when nobody knew about it, and then you're also like, how does that work though? This was way better because it was like me and one other person just talking. You know, this Comic-Con was way better because there weren't so many fucking people here. I mean, it doesn't make sense, but on the other hand, it does. It was a very weird alternative perspective, which I would wrap up by saying he was also missing some teeth, and he's like, well, I got to get going. I have a LARPing live-action role-play meeting to go to. And I was like, oh, yeah? And he's like, yeah, that's what happened to my teeth. Got knocked out by a trebuchet. I was like, okay, good. I would suggest coming up with a different story. You know, I don't know, building a fence or something. I just, when you have missing teeth and then you're like, it got knocked out by a trebuchet in live action role play, it's like, wow. Jesus Christ. I mean, that's a commitment. How the fuck do you go back to that after you get like three of your teeth knocked out? Wouldn't you just be like, okay, this is costing me way too much in terms of soul and whatever. How much joy could you be derived? If I was playing a video game that I really enjoyed and then a hand came out of the screen and knocked my teeth out, I'd be like, okay, never mind. Fuck that shit. There you go. So that's the true nerd's opinion there. That is how it goes. When you mess with the nerd, you get the nerd horn, which I think is the kind of horn that's on those Viking helmets, probably. All right, guys. We've got it done today. We did it. That last rambly story there. Thanks for listening. Go, for the love of God, go buy that comic on Amazon. It is $2. It is $1.99. Okay? That's all you have to do is buy now. Click. Just get on there, buy it, and then just forget it happened. Just consider it a donation. You know what I mean? And then we'll never have to speak of it again. How about that? When I sell 10, and I'm subtracting the one that I bought, because to see if it actually worked, when I sell 10, I will stop talking about it on this show. 10. That's all I'm asking. I'll probably make $5 if I sell 10. Maybe. Probably not. Probably 4. Exactly 4. when I sell 10, we don't have to talk about it anymore. Okay? So, go buy that. Fucking review this on iTunes already. Tweet about it. Do something. Just do something. You have an entire week. We don't have another one of these for an entire week. Plenty of time. Just do something. I don't care what it is. Get creative or not. Just tell somebody. But, you know, I'm talking into the void here. And that's not... Okay. I was going to make a gross sex joke, but I'm going to skip it. We're at the end. I don't have time to win back, you know, my lovingness if I make a real gross joke. So let's just call it a day. See you later. When David told the captain to let Uriah bleed, when life begs the price of all your deepest dreams, don't they always wish you well before they sentence you to hell? And did the good Lord see you suffer and let it be?